Let's pray. Father, be with us as we come to hear from your word. We pray that we might hear it, understand it, and apply it to our own lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we come to the fifth commandment, your struggle with authority. Jesus said the commandments are summed up in the dual command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. Well, today we come to this fifth commandment, and it seems to be about loving your neighbour, doesn't it? We generally group the first four commandments as commandments about relating to God, and the last six about relating to our neighbour, but it's interesting that Moses receives the commandments on two tablets, each with five commandments, apparently. So it may be that this also applies to our relationship with God. In fact, it's true, isn't it, that our love for others begins with our love for God. It's when we grasp the depth of God's love for us that we begin to grapple with what it might mean to love even our ugly neighbour. And it may be, then, that this commandment about the need to love and honour our parents is meant to be the bridge between those that are about our relationship with God and those that are about our relationship with our neighbour. Well, God puts us in this world with a small subset of the human race to begin relating to. Our parents are the first representatives of fallen humanity that we meet and our first model for authority figures that we'll meet later in life. Now, that may be a good or bad thing depending on how well your parents have carried out their duties as parents. But whatever happens, the way our parents exercise authority will affect the way we respond to authority figures later in life. If respect for authority is lost in the home, then chances are it'll be lost at work, in our school, in society in general. It seems to me there are two forms of authority exercised by parents. There's authoritarian parenting and authoritative parenting. The authoritarian style depends on power to force obedience from others. So power is exercised through fear of punishment or threat of violence in one of its many forms, going from the verbal to the physical. You've probably seen this in some parents. You may have done this yourself. You know, it commonly takes a form something like this. Why should I? Because I said so. What if I don't want to? Then you'll be sorry. Usually with a sort of escalating volume level as you go along. And the you may be sorry may become actually something more, much more explicit than that. But authoritative parenting, on the other hand, allows discussion, gives reasons, helps the child to see that the instruction isn't arbitrary or mean-spirited. It doesn't punish unfairly for childish mistakes. So the child who knocks over a glass of milk on the table just because they're young and clumsy doesn't get punished. But at the same time, it does expect compliance. It sets limits. It still punishes where necessary. So the child who's knocked over the glass of milk just after you've said, stop playing with your brother like that, maybe gets punished in a reasonable way, a way that fits the thing they've done. Authoritative parenting works at getting compliance willingly rather than out of fear. It works at increasing the child's maturity so they can end up setting their own limits. In Ephesians 6, when Paul's addressing children and parents, he says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now notice that the key to both these instructions is in the Lord or of the Lord. Christian parenting is carried out as though it's being done by God or by Christ. When God gives us laws, he explains them, he reasons with us. He treats us with respect. And so too, parents need to treat their children with respect as they exercise their authority over them. And of course, if there are two types of authority, there are also two responses to authority, aren't there? There's honouring and there's rebelling. Some children honour their parents' authority, and we'll see in a minute what honouring entails. while others simply rebel. Now, it isn't easy for children, I don't think. I mean, our natural inclination as human beings is to want to rule the world. Is that right? We want to be the boss of, I'm the boss of me. That's what we naturally want to do. And as children grow up, they actually begin with a fair bit of control over their world. And a baby only has to cry and someone will come and pick it up. They'll feed it, change its nappy, play with it if that's, you know, whatever's appropriate as the situation demands. But then, as the child grows older, he or she discovers that the world doesn't revolve around them after all. And usually by about 2 years old, those rebellious genes have kicked in, haven't they? You know, what's the favourite word of a two-year-old? No. Or no, 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 as my grandson would say. And at that point, authoritative parenting is essential for both the child and the parents. If they handle it well, they'll end up with a child who honours them, most of the time at least, and probably all the time privately. But if they handle it badly, then they end up with a child who doesn't understand how to limit their own freedom. But let me address those who are children or teenagers still living under the authority of their parents. There aren't enough here today, really, are there? We need more of them to hear this. How do you respond to the authority of your parents? Do you give in to the temptation to rebel, to assert your own sovereignty over your life? Or do you honour your parents as those that God has placed over you, for the time being at least? Do you obey your parents in the Lord? Well, let's think about what it means to honour parents here. The word honour literally means to give weight to or regard as heavy. Now, that doesn't mean you should tell your father he needs to go on a diet. That wouldn't be honouring him or your mother. No. What it does mean is to give weight to someone. Now, we use that sort of idea the other way around. We say, we have a common phrase, don't take their advice lightly. In other words, listen to your parents' advice. Take it seriously. Allow the possibility that your parents might have discovered something in their long years of life. And after all, we all know parents are very old, aren't they? Yeah. So in that long life they've had, maybe they have actually learned something. Pay attention to what they advise, because they're the ones who love you the most in all the world. No one will ever love you as much as your parents love you, I hope. And usually parents love you unconditionally, don't they? They're the ones who know what you're like, because they've lived with you day in, day out for your entire life. They've seen all your faults as well as your abilities. They've seen your strengths as well as your weaknesses. And so they may have a helpful insight into whatever it is that's facing you at the moment. Remember, when your parents give advice, they're saying what they think will help you the most. Parents never give you advice that they think won't help you. But of course, how we honour our parents will change as we get older. As children, honouring parents mostly means doing what they tell you without complaining about it. For teenagers, honouring parents, like most things, gets more complex. It means beginning to contribute to the life of the family, for example. Helping with the work of the household. Right, this isn't radical stuff for you. It means not taking for granted the sacrifices your parents are making for you. Parents make huge sacrifices for their children. It means taking responsibility for some of the household chores. Maybe doing your own ironing or your own washing. It means not making extra work for others. Not leaving those piles of dishes in the bath or in the bedroom. Or like the comic strip in the paper the other day, that where the son had, he cleaned up his bedroom. He comes out to his mother and says, "I've cleaned up my bedroom." She says, "Oh, fantastic." And she turns around and sees the pile of dishes up on the sink, waiting for her to wash them up, of course. Well, honouring parents means not making extra work for them. It also, though, means listening. Learn to listen to what your parents say. Learning how to have a rational discussion about things that you and your parents disagree about. Being patient with them if they can't see your point of view. And even acknowledging that they may have insights that you don't have because you haven't experienced all the things that they have. As we move into adulthood, the situation changes again. As adults, we're no longer required to obey our parents. Genesis 2 points out that a man leaves his father and mother and clings only to his wife, and they become flesh. They become a whole new unit with their own responsibility to each other. No longer are they responsible to their parents. Now, of course, in that culture, everyone was married, so you know, by the time you were 18, you'd left home. Now, these days, men and women are still living with their parents, you know, well into their adult years, aren't they? I think our youngest was 30 before he left home, or close to it. These days, adults are living with parents, but they still need to take adult responsibility. If you're an adult living with your parents, you need to take responsibility for your own decisions and for your own upkeep. And that thing about helping with household chores becomes even more important if you're an adult. But although as adults we're no longer required to obey our parents, we still need to honour them. That reading we had from the Gospel reading, from Matthew 15, Jesus points out how the Pharisees had actually made void God's law by making a rule that said you don't have to honour your parents anymore. If you give money to the temple, then you don't have to worry about looking after your parents. Now, we need to continue to honour our parents. And how do we do that? How do you honour your parents when you're an adult? Well, you do it by visiting them, by talking to them, by continuing to share your life with them. I love it when my children come round for dinner on a Monday night, which they do regularly, when they talk about the good things that have happened to them, or when they talk about the things that are concerning them. It does a wonderful thing for parents to hear their children sharing their life with them. Now, for many of us, our parents live in the state, and so they miss out on contact with us and with their grandchildren and with their great-grandchildren, if there are any. Well, that means we need to make the effort to make regular visits to them, to make regular phone calls, to talk to them on the phone if you can't actually talk to them face-to-face. And parents are still a great source of advice as we grow up, aren't they? Mind you, giving weight to their advice doesn't mean accepting it unthinkingly. It means listening to their reasons, then making your own decisions on the right course of action. So you listen to the wisdom of your parents and then you make your own decision based on your own perception of the world. Because sometimes parents get it wrong. There's a great example in the Gospel when Jesus' mother and brothers come to take Jesus away because they think he's not looking after himself. He's doing so much work that he's not eating properly. It's a ring of truth about that, isn't there, that story? Here's his mother saying, you've got to look after yourself. You're fading away to nothing. You kill yourself if you keep doing this. And so she comes and knocks on the door and says, I want Jesus. We want to take him away and look after him because he's obviously out of his mind. And what does he do? He sends them away. Because he isn't out of his mind. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's made the decision, the adult decision, of how to exercise his ministry. And in fact, he says, you've got it wrong. I've left the home, and here are my mother and brothers and sisters sitting here among me, around me. As our parents get older, as some of yours are, honouring them may mean making sure they're well cared for as they become frail, unable to care for themselves. And again, that means regular visits, keeping them up to date on what's happening in the outside world. Most parents are really interested in what's happening to their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Talking to them about what's important to you, sharing your life with them, telling them about the things you've been doing, and so forth. Well, let's think for a while about what it means to be a good parent. Put the shoe on the other feet, on the other foot. How can parents make it easier for children to show them honour? If you're finished raising your children, then maybe you can put these ideas away and offer them as advice to others, perhaps to your children, if they're still raising their own kids. Well, first of all, using authority well. Ephesians 6:4 tells us, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The first task of a Christian parent is to create an environment that leads a child to a godly honouring of both parent and child. Sorry, parent and God. Child is not God. Even if they think they are. An environment that leads to the godly honouring of both parents and God. For the child, you see, the parent stands in the place of God. They're the protector, the provider, the shepherd, the teacher, the example. And what they see in you as parent will be the picture they have of God until they get old enough to be able to discern between your fallen humanity and God's perfect love. But certainly for the early stages of life, the parent needs to show forth God in the way they behave towards their children. That's a great challenge, isn't it? How can you have the wisdom of God when you raise children? How can you, work out the right thing to do? No child comes with an instruction book, do they? And you sort of learn by your own mistakes. And you hope that you learn by the mistakes before the mistakes become something that will hurt the child. So we need to pray that God will give us wisdom in the way we raise our children. So, for example, you need to listen to the requests of your children and give them the good things they need, because that's what God does. But at the same time, you won't give them everything they ask it for, because not everything will be helpful for them. Or because some things are better if we wait for them. Some things are better if you get them at the right age rather than too soon. And our culture is one which gives children things far too soon, I think. You won't give kids everything they ask for, because enough is enough sometimes. Again, our culture's lost that idea that enough is enough. We think everything is enough. Actually, everything isn't enough. We want a bit more than everything, don't we? And you've got to have it now. And you'll do all that because that's what God does for us. You'll show them whatever they do. No matter what they do, you still love them. But that doesn't mean you'll gloss over their failings or deny their shortcomings. You'll help them understand that making the wrong choices often leads to painful consequences. But at the same time, you'll teach them that grace and forgiveness are available to those who ask for it. It's very difficult to be a parent, isn't it? If I can give you an example that I learned from a book on raising teenagers by Dr. Ross Campbell, he had a rule with his children that when they learned to drive and they had their first accident or they got their first speeding fine, he would pay it. He'd pay for the repairs. He'd pay the speeding fine. Because he wanted to teach them the grace of God, that God goes out of his way to pay the price for us. But then he'd tell them the next one was on them. He wanted them to learn that when they do these sort of things they shouldn't do, that there are consequences. And I thought that was a great model, one that I've used with my own children on occasion. Well, let me suggest a three-pronged approach to exercising authority in a godly way. The three prongs are wisdom, sufficiency, and love. Our first reading today from Proverbs 2 gives a model of a godly parent who first presents the words of God to the child and then reasons with them as to the value of accepting those words and obeying the Lord. He says, he pleads with the child, in fact, he says, "If you accept my words, treasure up my commandments, making you attentive to wisdom, if you seek it like silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." He says, God guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his faithful ones. He reasons with them as to the value of accepting God's word, of obeying the Lord. So wisdom is based on God's word, and it's reasonable. It's something that you don't apply by force. You argue for it. You reason with the child. But it's also discerning. True godly wisdom understands that two children are never the same. So what works for your first child probably won't work for your second child. If it works for your second child, it certainly won't work for your third child. Now, every child is different, and so what works for one will be different for another. We need to be discerning about how our children respond to us, how we are going to teach them, how we're going to discipline them. We need to be wise in deciding what to say yes or no to. I mean, one of our rules as our kids were growing up was to always ask the question, why not, before we said no. Often they'd ask us to do something that we didn't like the sound of. But there was nothing really wrong with it. It's just that, you know, it wasn't the sort of thing that we would have chosen for them to do. But sometimes they ask you to do something that's really, you know, it's the latest fad and everyone's doing it, and in 3 weeks' time it'll be something different. But other times there's something that is seriously wrong with it. When our kids would come home and say, oh, we've been invited to go out to someone's house for the night, we'd say, and who's going to be there? You know, which adults will be there? And if there wasn't going to be an adult there, the answer was very simple, no. And then we'd say, why? And, you know, if the answer was, that's not fair, which it often would have been, we'd say, well, it is fair because, you know, these are the consequences if you have, you know, these are things that might happen if there's no adults present. So you need to be wise about what you say yes to, what you say no to. If there's a good reason for saying no, you've got to say no. Again, we need to ask God to give us the wisdom to discern between what's of little consequence and what might lead them astray. Sufficiency is the art of being temperate in all you do. So discipline is sufficient to the occasion. It's not out of proportion, it never tending towards abuse of power. As I said, the child who clumsily knocks over a glass of milk doesn't deserve, you know, to be thrashed within an inch of their life. Not that we do that sort of thing anymore, of course. But you know what I mean? Encouraging a child to succeed is in proportion to their ability and their inclinations, not according to your desire to fill your own personal dreams. I mean, lots of parents push their child to do something because they always wanted to do it themselves and they never got the chance, so my child's going to do it. That's not a helpful thing if it's not something that the child wants to do. And usually within about 3 weeks of trying something, the child will know whether they like it or not, whether they have that inclination. Your love for your child is for their benefit, not to fulfil your own need to be loved and affirmed. If you need their love more than you need to help them grow to maturity, then you're in trouble, and so are they. Because it'll weaken your ability to provide appropriate discipline to them when they need it. They'll work out your weakness and they'll use it to manipulate you, to get away with blue murder. You must be their father or mother before you're their friend. And that's a mistake lots of parents make. They so want to be their child's friend, they forget to be their father or their mother, which means they're disciplinarian. Why is it that teenagers seem to listen to their friends more than they listen to their parents? It's a good question, isn't it? Could it be because their parents are the ones who say the hard things? Who say no? Or say, I notice you've been doing such and such lately. Is that good? But of course, as part of sufficiency, parents need to allow children to disagree with them as they discuss why they impose restrictions on them, as they discuss why certain behaviours are not helpful. Children need to be given the respect, particularly as they get older and they start to think for themselves, they need to be given the respect to make their own decisions about what's good and what's bad within the restrictions of sufficiency. The third element is love. Do I need to say that love is the key to raising children? It seems so obvious, doesn't it, that you shouldn't have to say it. But sometimes we get confused about what it means to love a child. And I've already given some examples of what seems to be love but isn't. Like giving a child everything they ask for. That's not love at all. That's just giving in. That's just taking the easy path. Or becoming dependent on the love the child gives back. But love might look like this. It might look like setting boundaries for your child, saying you can go that far and no further. Saying no. It might mean letting them yell at you without yelling back, perhaps. That's the hardest thing to do, I reckon. When your child raises their voice, you really want, I mean, it's very hard not to raise your voice back, isn't it? I find that anyway. Applying appropriate consequences to their disobedience. So grounding them, sending them to their bedroom, turning off the TV. All these are acts of love if they're done for the right reason, that is to help them grow to maturity. Finally, let's get back to honouring your parents. Ephesians 6:2 reminds us that children to obey their parents in the Lord because this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is, so it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now remember, this is the commandment that this is one of the first five commandments, so it seems to be included in the group that covers our duty to God, or at least bridges that duty to God with our duty to our neighbour. And so it seems that honouring our parents is part of our honouring of God. And the result of honouring God is that God will bless us with success and long life in his presence. No longer in the land that God is giving you, as in Exodus, but in God's presence in eternity. God is very good to us, isn't he? God doesn't threaten us. He offers us an incentive. In fact, if you think about it, God is actually modelling good parenting in that, isn't he? This isn't an authoritarian command based on fear. This is an authoritative command made on the basis of his love for us, with a promise of blessing when we obey. Well, that's all we have time for today. There's a lot more I could have said. This could have gone on for another hour, I think, if I'd wanted to, if you'd been able to stand it, which you couldn't have. But if you're a parent, then help your child obey this commandment by the environment you create in your home. If you're a child, then honour your parents as it's appropriate for the stage of the life of life that you and they are at. And remember that God promises to bless those who keep this commandment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness towards us. We thank you that you don't just give us commandments, but you also give us the incentive to obey them. And we pray that you would help us as parents, as children, or at whatever stage of life we're at, to be people who honour our parents as we would honour you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.